Five, four, three, two, one, and a huge thank you for joining us for this emergency broadcast with Kevin Annett. Kevin, as many of you know, I've been following him for years on this channel. He's been the tip of the spear exposing certain horrific crimes committed by the Vatican, the state, royal families, etc. And he has had multiple attempts on his life over the years, poisonings. He's got his own bodyguard. And he was traveling recently and he was detained. Now he has just been released yesterday. He's come on the channel at extremely short notice. So huge thank you to him. And please support all his important work. All of the links for his books and everything else are in the description box below this video. Kevin, I have no idea what this saga is yet. I can't wait to hear it. I hope you are okay. And I'm sure you're even more incentivized now with the powers that be after them doing this to you. How are you feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm pumped, actually. You know, something like this, I'm exhausted, right? And still coming out of shock. But the point is, you know, they often say 1 hour of experience beats a year of talking. And when you have direct contact, I mean, to me, the state is prisons. We're all in a kind of prison, right? But when you go into it and you see it for what it is, a lot of your fear goes. You're facing these guys. They're just guys in uniforms, right? And it was reminding me that in that situation, you're forced to see the enemy as it is, the outside enemy, and then the enemy in ourself. So that's the advantage of these things. It teaches us some really good lessons. But I wanted to say first, reaching out to people in six American cities where I was to speak. I had gigs lined up in all these places, starting in St. Louis. And just to say, I will be there. Nothing's keeping me out of America. We're going to get there. And also, my heart's going out today for all those people in prison who we don't know about. All those people locked away in ICE facilities, men, women, children, who don't have anyone to go for, to bat for them, we don't know them. And this show is for them, too. And everything we go through should open our hearts and minds to those people even more. So let me just jump in and tell folks pretty much what happened. I was scheduled Thursday morning. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, just take your time, get into as much detail as possible.
Yeah.
And let's go slowly through it as it happens.
Okay. I was scheduled to fly to Chicago and then down to St. Louis on a United Airlines flight Thursday morning. And we went in early, Yosef and myself. The way we usually do this is Yosef, my bodyguard, goes first before me on the line to kind of run interference in case anything happens. He got through security fine. So this is at Vancouver International Airport going through U.S. Customs, right? And I went through and like happened at Stansted Airport in 2011, the guy gets kind of a funny look on his face, runs the passport through, pulls me aside, gets my bags. We go into secondary, it's like a secondary inspection room, right? Two U.S. Customs and Border agents there, they started grilling me. And, you know, I just explained that I'm going on a trip, giving some lectures. One of them leaves, comes back with a guy in a suit. And the guy in the suit says, we're holding you temporarily for further questioning. And I said, who are you? Wouldn't tell me. Didn't have a name tag, didn't have a badge, didn't give a name. They escorted me out to the little van. They drive me to another part of the airport. Now, it turns out this was the south terminal. We're in the main terminal of Vancouver Airport. They drive me to an adjoining building in the south terminal. Turns out later, from people we know, like we have sources in the RCMP and people who work at the airport, and they were telling us these things, that it's a center. And I knew that when I went in, it was actual prison setup. And it's a... you know, the rendition flights they do. It's rendition center for people who are captured in Canada to be taken to China, to America, to wherever. So it was, you know, there's a whole facility to handle people like me there. And we get in there and the first thing I say to them is, I'm not in your authority or jurisdiction. I'm a citizen of the Sovereign Republic of Canada. I don't recognize Crown authority or who the hell are you guys? You're probably an American. And he said, we can hold you indefinitely. And I said, under what authority can you hold me indefinitely? I have to know just cause. What have I done? What are the charges, right? And so he starts, in, you know, kind of grilling me. And I say, I'm not answering any more of your questions until I see either a lawyer or somebody else who can confirm who the hell you are, right? So he starts asking me this stuff. I don't answer him. But it was interesting. The first question he asked was about, and I think sent you the link to that, to my website, about the announcement that came out January 30th from a group called the National Council of Constitutional Assemblies in America. These are citizens in 22 states who took an oath to swear an oath to the Republic and to disavow all allegiance to the Trump regime. That is, they're not going to pay taxes. They're not going to obey executive orders. They're going to, especially with the war going on now, they're not going to support the system anymore. He wanted to know all about that. He wanted to know about John Bradley, one of the conveners of that. If you go to, murderbydecree.com under that ITCCS updates link, you'll see this, the January 30th posting, A Revolution Begins in America. And that's the first thing they were asking about. I didn't say anything. And then he got around to asking about when was I last in Nanaimo? And it's interesting because one of the things we've been doing on the West Coast is we've discovered there are these private biolabs that are run by China and the Israelis. The police have busted up two of them, both in California, but there's also them operating on Vancouver Island. And one of the places where Neuralink has a West Coast headquarters is right in Nanaimo. And there's a picture I sent to you of one of the Chinese doctors who heads up the transcranial insertions of Neuralink chips. They have a facility. And what's significant about Nanaimo, not only I lived there for years, but there was this thing called the Nanaimo Indian Hospital that we documented early on, as early as 1998. It's where they brought a lot of native kids for experimental surgery as far back as the 1950s. And it was kind of a lot of the prototypes we know now for these biochips and everything were tried out first on native children in the Indian hospitals and schools. Proof of that is when we held our first tribunal on that in the summer of 1998 in Vancouver, less than 6 months later, the federal government of Canada officially closes all records of Indian hospitals in Canada because we're getting close to this long history of where this biochipping stuff came from. And, people often say, why are they still after you, Kevin, after all these years when, they pretty much bought off everybody and silenced everything? Well, because they don't want people to know the history of this, because if you can't understand what's going on now with these crimes unless you know where it came from. And so Nanaimo was the other place he was talking about. And that's really significant. And the final thing too is that inadvertently, and there's kind of the hidden hand in all this. One of the reasons I think this arrest happened, from our point of view, not from their agenda, but how we can benefit from this, is that it confirmed that there's definitely a rendition center. Rendition flights fly out of Vancouver Airport. And China operates extraterritorial police stations in Vancouver, in Toronto, and in Montreal. That is, this is Chinese territory. Vancouver or the Chinese secret police can come over, arrest anyone who is a threat to China, and they bring them out on these rendition flights. Now, you're looking at the South Terminal. Just looking north towards Vancouver in the mountains. This is one of the buildings that was held in. It's a rendition center. Now, there were cages in there. There was actual jails, prison cells, and evidence, that it's in use. So that's what happened. Now, the way I responded was, I told them several hours went by. They kept doing this. So I said, look, if you hold in me here after tonight, I'm going on a hunger fast. I'm not going to eat anything. They brought in food at one point, a sandwich, and I wouldn't eat it because I could have been drugged. So I just refused and I said, I'm going to go on a fast here. Meanwhile, what I didn't know was my friend Joseph, bodyguard, is in the airport. He contacted the ICLCJ, the Common Law Court of Justice, right away. They got a habeas corpus writ underway, which was that next morning presented to the U.S. Customs and Border officials. He also contacted our supporters of Vancouver, and they got their Republic of Canada flag and bullhorn, and they headed down to the airport. But that evening, they were about to stage a sit-in, right? They were going to go right in and sit in the airport, and this is the only way you get results: direct action, create a stink. Now, we knew the Vancouver Airport authorities aren't going to want a bunch of people clogging up the aisles with a sit-in demanding, free Kevin Hanna, right? So, the combination of those three. Next morning, 7:30, boom, I'm sprung. Right. And it was, they often say the threat of of an action is just as worrisome to your enemy than actually doing it. And And so the combination of those three, to me, it was kind of like a metaphor of how we act in those situations. You have to take direct action. You personally can't cooperate with them in any way. Establish, like Sun Tzu says in The Art of War, your own chi, your own ground of being, and they have to respond to you, which they did. They let me out. No documentation, of course, none of that stuff to leave a record. And we had a great time when I was reunited with everybody. Now, the airport authorities were hovering around these. We had Mounties watching everybody, kind of circling them. So they didn't let anyone to film anything or any of that. But one of the ways we found out about this is my Yosef knows one of the airport Mounties, and he was giving us all this information from the inside about what they were doing, who they were. It was Homeland Security, one of their people. They were possibly going to ship me to an ICE detention facility in America. And that here's the thing. The military and other authorities in Canada and the US operate as one now. There is no border. They operate as if North America is one single continental union, which in effect it's going to be. That's the whole agenda. Whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they're heading that way because Europe, Russia, China, they're all doing the same thing. They're centralizing all that. So in effect, this is an American fief already. But here on the coast, there's going to be a big conflict between China and America. It's going to happen right here. And that's why it's, they're kind of edgy here about people like us, operating. So especially with all this knowledge we have about, the things going on Vancouver Island, the links to Neuralink and the detention facilities where they're using people, including especially children, in these experiments. And there's a whole crop of guinea pigs in these prisons. So that's what happened. And I wanted to talk a little bit about again, it's another opportunity. I'll tell you one of the things I did. I had my Governing Ourselves book, right? And I began, I was left alone in the room in front of a TV camera. The first thing they do is they let you stew in fear for like an hour, right? And you don't stew in fear. You just kind of turn it back on them. So I pulled out my book and I said, looked into the camera and said, maybe you guys haven't seen my book. And I began reading from Governing Ourselves, right? But authority comes from you. It doesn't come from the guys who employ you, right? Because I know half of these security people work, they don't even work for the US government. They work for McDonnell Douglas Corporation. And those who do work for the US government, I said, I understood they put a freeze on your wages. They couldn't, there was a freeze on government spending. You guys were working for weeks without pay. What is that? What are you crazy? So I'm talking away like this into the camera. And like, who knows what impact it had. But, and then I began singing, right? Ain't no chain's gonna keep me down, like this old chain gang song, right? And I put that, I hope I put put the link to the song on the, it's a beautiful song, like, ain't no chains gonna keep my body down. I kept thinking, ain't no jail gonna keep my body down. So, I just kept singing that and putting up the energy. And I think that's one of the reasons we kind of, I kind of sang my way out of prison in a way. And I like that image because in Indigenous cultures, you often hear about, in Australia, there was a good book called Songlines people should read. And they believe there, the indigenous people believe that their animal ancestors sang the world into existence. And you can still see these song lines, I mean, in your head, like in your soul, you can trace these original song lines and you can sing a new reality into existence. And that's why we always start our meetings with song, right? It creates your own energy and not their energy, which is fear and ignorance, right? So I was doing all that stuff. So I think it kind of played a role. And let me leave it at that. I'm sure people have questions or remarks.
Yeah, I mean, I've got tons of questions as well, because how long were you detained for in total?
Just under 24 hours, 10:25, and then released at just after 7:30 the next morning.
All right,
10:27.
so you were at the airport and you were going, just to recap, because we've got 2,000 watching now, you were going from where to where?
Vancouver to Chicago. And then down to St. Louis, where my first speaking gig was. And then I was going to go east from there into Pennsylvania, New York, then down the East Coast to the South. And
And
that was the plan.
when did they actually take you to the room? At what point of that journey through the airport?
Thursday, see, I was grabbed at about 10:30. I would say we waited about only about half an hour before the guy in the suit came in. And so kind of towards almost noon, I guess the hour before noon, they transported me to the other place. So clearly they were, it wasn't just kind of random. I think there was a plan to put me through that interrogation
So
because we were there by
where
GMO.
were you when they actually extracted you then?
Extracted. Well,
Were you
initially,
at were you just in the line at the
yeah, I was
airport
just on
or?
the line. Yosef had gone first, like I mentioned, and then I was going through US security, and they kind of ask you questions. They have a separate room where they can give you secondary, I forget the term, but it's secondary examination, where you can they can look through your stuff and ask you more probing questions and things like that. So yeah, that was in the secondary room, and from there we went to the building in the South Terminal, this rendition center, right?
All
Which
right, so
nobody knew
these
about. I've never read anybody commenting on rendition centers at the Vancouver Airport, just places like Cork Airport in Ireland and places like that that have been notified, identified.
could you describe these rooms as you went through them? What was the first room like?
Kind of a nondescript, not too big room, everything white, camera, table, chairs. But the second one in the rendition center was very creepy. It was like it had the feel of kind of a prison. And it was like a warehouse, but then larger rooms, but you could they were padded rooms and soundproof rooms. So whether that means there's a place to beat people, whatever, I was expecting that to happen. I was expecting them to get heavy with this stuff. That was the aura they were putting out, right? That it was going to lead to that.
The people who extracted you, were they dressed like this?
Yeah, those are that's the US border customs and border protection, it's called.
So would you say it was very high tech then, as you're going through these rooms? They
Yeah, it's so
were
funny,
observed.
these people the whole time they're just looking at their little devices, and it's like I'm not there. Oh, and I want to tell you something else that happened that's really interesting. When this guy was, when the suit was very frustrated trying to get information out of me, I just wouldn't say anything. At one point, okay, so he's looking at me in the eyes, but then he starts looking over here to my left and he starts talking to me over there as if I'm sitting there. And during that whole time, I had been just kind of withdrawing and calling on my wolf and eagle spirits to kind of be there with me. And remember when I did that exorcism in Rome, and you're arrested if you do one of any kind. And I'm standing there doing the ceremony, and the Vatican police and Roman police are walking by me as if I'm not there. I think we can resonate out of their hologram because I think existence is a hologram. And when you resonate in your own frequency, you're not there anymore. And he was standing talking to me like over here, right? And I'm thinking like, okay, repeat. I really feel that I could have got up. And if the door was open, I could have left at that point because I wasn't in his space anymore. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind. But you only know that when you're in that situation. And then, okay, we have a power we didn't realize in this situation. Once we're out of there, they lock us in through fear into this false reality, right? But we can create our own,
So did you get a feeling then, as these rooms were changing and the rooms seemed to get more serious, that they were kind of disappearing you into the system, into the gulag?
Oh yeah. If I was anyone else, and that's why I'm saying I'm thinking all those people who don't have my exposure and the people willing to come to bat for me like that. If I had been someone like that, I would have been gone out of there. I would have been on a rendition flight to God knows where, and probably the States somewhere. But who knows, right?
At each point, as these individuals were speaking to you, did they have to explain why they were detaining you?
No, they never gave. Cited any law, they didn't give a reason. They said we have to question you, and they didn't even say which I expected. They expected to say, you constitute a domestic terrorist because of your link with these people in America, who have declared independence from the Trump regime. I expect that, but no, because they know if they say something like that, they have to back it up in some way with evidence. Okay, so how can they prove that what I'm doing is in any way linked to quote domestic terrorism? Well, in the FBI and CIA training manuals and in the RCMP manuals, they say that anyone who uses the term sovereign individual is a domestic terrorist. Not maybe, but is a domestic terrorist if he was sovereign. So I said, well, that makes Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin, John Adams, all the founders, terrorists. Because they're, so I mean, it's ludicrous, but they have to operate in this fog so they can do whatever they want, right?
So, do you and your bodyguard, Yosef, do you guys have a contingency plan? Do you anticipate events like this happening on these journeys?
Oh yeah, but I mean, it's how you field it. They won't do the same thing again. It depends what we do, but like I say, we're not being kept out of America. I'm not being kept out of England. I'm scheduled to come there. I should tell folks that the Freedom Fest in Thetford, where Thomas Paine is from, in Thetford they're having a Freedom Fest July 19th or around there, I think, and they've invited me to come and speak. So of course I'm going. And if they want to do that again and lock me up in Stansted Airport prison or the equivalent, fine, let's do it again. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. You got to understand who you're dealing with. You have to engage with them. That's kind of basic art of war. And we can engage and go through their fire. And when you come out, you're even clearer and stronger than before, right?
So during this detention in these rooms, then, were you comfortable? Like, what were you able to sit down? Were you able to lay down and get some sleep? And like, did you have toilet facilities, etc.?
Nope. They had you in a room. And at one point, I said to the camera, I might have to piss in the corner if you don't give me a pot, right? Or worse, in the corner. It's just psyops, right? And there was a chair and two chairs and table. That's it.
So do they have to escort you to a toilet when you say something like that?
Usually in prison, that's what they do, but who knows? I don't know what their protocol is.
Did they threaten to strip search you or anything like that?
Nope, no threats, just questioning. And you see, it's a test to see how we react. These things are tests. They think, okay, we'll put him away. Let's see how he reacts. Let's see how the people around him react. It's probing an enemy. They know militarily how to operate. You probe the enemy first and test to see how they react and what the world does. And if nobody had responded, they would have said, good, we can ship the guy off. But there was a response. And so they went, okay, now we know to do this, not to do this, but we can do the same thing. And I was thinking that way all along, like, okay, look at how they're reacting. They're asking about the people in America who declared independence. That means they don't know a lot about it. Otherwise, why would they be asking me questions? Why don't they know about it? I'll tell you why. Because John Bradley and the others in the constitutional assemblies have deliberately not been on the internet. They've turned off all their electronic devices. They operate totally off the radar. And so the system doesn't know about them because their system's all locked into cyberspace. Best way you get around the system is you get outside of cyberspace and then look at the power we have. So that is a clue that it's successful. That otherwise, why would they take the trouble to ask all that to me, right?
Did they attempt to go through any of your devices or take any of your luggage?
I never bring laptops, my flip phone, any information, names, any of that. We have it shipped separately. I never have it on my person. The only thing I had on my person were my books and my clothes, right? And that frustrated them, I'm sure. Maybe they read through it and learned a few things. I don't
So one of the viewers, I think it's Marie, is asking, were there any moments you got scared?
Read it first. It's the initial shock. When somebody comes up and plows you in the face, yeah, you're shocked, you're afraid, but then you recover. My reaction, recovery time is a lot quicker than it used to be, right? And within about a minute of me taking off, I said, okay, just go in here and don't get drawn into their energy. I've learned how to do that because this has happened before. And I was going to say, my 70th year, my ancestor Peter Annett, who was locked away in Bridewell Prison for writing seditious expose on the Church of England in 1761, they locked him away in when he was 70. And our lives have been so intertwined, like a double helix. Everything we've been doing, the same enemy, the same thing. And I thought, okay, I'm bound to get arrested this year because Peter was, right? So, and by the way, you can get that also on Amazon. It's a book about on a different sort of rock. By Pete, about Peter Annett, my ancestor.
And I appreciate all the love and support coming in for Kevin. Almost 3,000 people watching live right now. Don't forget, all of
Thank
Kevin's
you.
links are in the description box. You're getting asked from Katz, did you have any prior signs or indications that this was going to happen?
No, there was no monitoring. There was no threats or any. They do that. They don't want to tip you off. They create a silence before the storm, so you don't know. But you got to assume that it can happen to any of us at any time. And that's why, like, I wanted to use that experience to share with people today how you should react in these situations, because it can just reach out at any point and grab any one of us. And you just can't give in to them at any point. Don't cooperate. Don't give into their energy. But and like I say, song is the best way, and one of the good ways, right, to respond.
They're not going to use the song against you in a court of law. Okay, so Claire wants to know, what do you think the authorities are scared of regarding yourself?
Well, I made reference to it earlier. I represent a continuity of over 30 years of understanding where a lot of the present stuff is coming from in terms of how these bioweapons were first tested, the genocide on our own backyard that's now spread to everybody, you know, this Neuralink omnicide, the extermination of the human race. It got started somewhere. And because I know the history and have been involved in campaigns to directly confront this for decades, they don't want that knowledge in history around, right? They want, because people only have their own slice of experience. And, you know, if you only know what's been going on, and a lot of people have been involved in this campaign only since 2020 when the COVID stuff came down. They don't know what went on before then in a lot of ways. They were assimilated into the thinking, and a lot of us had to break out of that. But because those who are veterans, those are the first ones you knock off, like they do in genocide. You kill all the elders. You kill the elders with the traditional knowledge, and then the people are lost because they don't have the traditional leadership. I think that's one of the reasons, but also because I'm in touch with so many groups around the world that are doing this. You know, the Republic of Albion in England, the Constitutional Assemblies group now in America. And I've been invited in the summer to go to Norway, to Spain, to Italy. There's this 100th monkey awakening all over. And they know, like you said, I'm one of those who are at the tip of the spear in this. So Yosef knows that. That's why he sticks to me like glue all the time, because he says, you know, that you're a prime target. But we have protection that I don't even fully understand. And that's always been the case in this work over 30 years.
So when they got you initially then, where was Yosef?
He was about two people in front of me. He was right. He had gone through, and I was about to go through right after him. There was two people, I think, between us. And then when I went through, he was far enough along that he couldn't intervene. Well, he knows not to intervene because they just grabbed him too. He needed to be there to observe and then tell everybody what was happening. So that's kind of our protocol we use.
Did they offer you any food? Sherry wants to know.
Yeah, in the evening they brought in a sandwich. It was kind of like this cheese sandwich. It looked like it was like Kraft slices. It was like yuck. So I didn't want to eat it anyway. But I thought, okay, then my drug it. So I said no. And then I said, I'm going to fast if you guys carry this on.
And did it get to a point where like you were falling asleep?
No, I was too pumped.
Your adrenaline was going.
Yeah, and I had to stay alert. Like I thought, oh, what's going to happen next? You know, I got to be able to remember all this stuff and record, you know.
In a situation like that, could you have asked for an attorney or any kind of help? That's from Marie.
Not directly. You need people on the outside because it's extraterritorial. It's U.S. territory, and they don't have to let you out at all, especially with the way Canada and the U.S. are pretty much united now. You know, I've known people who, like, I knew a guy who was bringing in, he was helping refugees coming in from Central America. This is back in the 80s. They had him in an immigration prison in LA for like 4 weeks, just locked up in prison, because you can be held indefinitely under their rules, right? So, you know, it's the situation right now.
Yeah, I had a friend who was detained for a year, getting deported back to the UK. Yeah. And I had to get a lawyer involved to expedite him to get him back to the UK. But he was telling me that they, you know, if you've got no help, you've got no money, there's people that have been in there for years. They're just, no one cares. Right. No one knows these people exist.
Yeah. And those are the ones, like I said, that we really got to, I'm pumped now to go down to some of these ice facilities, like the one in Phoenix, where they're bringing people into the Barrow Neurological Institute for Neuralink experiments. And I want to stand up there and just start singing to these people, right? With a whole group of us saying, we know you're in there. We haven't forgotten you. Because I tell you, when you're in prison, the one thing you need to know is there's somebody out there who cares and who's thinking about you and is with you, right? And there's this great poster from 100 years ago. It was put up by the IWW. It was an early labor union. And it's a guy behind bars, and he says, I'm in here for you. You be out there for me. Right? So it's like, yeah, we got to be united that way. And I don't know, there's the stigmata about when you go to prison that you've done something wrong, especially in Canada, right? Where people really believe that, or England, maybe. But we got to just always remember. Oh, well, it's that biblical quote I always like to use in my church was remember those in bondage as one who is in bondage with them. John Brown said that before they hanged him when he tried to seize Harper's Ferry just before the Civil War. He said, remember the one who is in bondage, the slave, as if you were in bondage with them. And I've always carried that in my heart.
Yeah, anyone can end up in prison these days. Just one wrong turn, encounter the wrong people. So Dan wants to know, in summary, what books have you written?
Oh, there's 28 of them, or is it
Woo!
29?
28, almost 30.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
The first one, early ones, was about the genocide in Canada, but I've really branched out. I mentioned the one about Peter Annett, my ancestor, free thinker who got locked up in Charing Cross stocks for daring to criticize the Church of England. This big seller, Governing Ourselves, a handbook on sovereignty. This one, of course, Dethroning a Rogue Power, Why the Vatican Needs to Be Brought Down, all the details of its crimes. Common Law Training Manual and Whistleblower Manual, kind of practical books, but a whole series of kind of biographical works on this whole campaign. So look it up. Just put in Kevin Annett and Amazon. We're looking for a publisher in England because about a quarter of my books are bought now by people in England, Albion. And that's one of the things I'll be looking at when I come over. So I'll be touring around with all my books. Just stay tuned and we'll keep you posted where I am.
A few people asking now, does this prohibit you from going into America?
We'll see. They didn't talk about the passport being seized or anything. Canada may. I mean, it depends. If they wanted to, yeah, they could just seize my passport and say you can't travel, but it's never
So
worry about
it's
what might happen. That's the source of fear, right?
Marie wants to know how come China has so much power in Canada?
Money. They've been buying up the country for the last 25 years. They're now the chief trading partner with Canada. They all own all the oil and gas, liquid natural gas. Canada's allowed them to station their troops here. China's the rising power, and they're trying to outflank America from north and south. That's the role of the present pope. Just like the previous one, they're channeling a lot of the Vatican bank money into the BRICS alliance. And so it's about, that financial reality and also geopolitics, right?
Another question about China here. Why would Canadians allow China to have its own detention centers? How corrupt?
Canadians wouldn't. It's the Canadian government that's done it. And they're playing the game. They know that you got to give the rising power whatever they want or you'll be in trouble, right? And the Crown is collaborating with this. We've talked about that in previous shows where, and right after Queen Elizabeth died, these 10 Cree Indians ended up dead in Saskatchewan because their chiefs wouldn't sign a deal with Rio Tinto to get the diamond mine, the diamonds on their land. And that was directly brokered by Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, Mary Simon, Governor General of Canada, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So it's, and Rio Tinto is tied into China and the British Royals. So, I mean, follow the money, folks.
Emmy wants to know if you think Carney is compromised by China.
He wouldn't be there unless he was. It's like you can't be a native chief in Canada unless they've got dirt on you about drug trafficking or child trafficking. They're all controlled. There's nobody in a position of authority who isn't early on, controlled. That's one of the reasons for the Ninth Circle ceremonies is within the Vatican, is to identify those people willing to take part, and then they're on the list of candidates for Pope. We've gone into that. People should watch our previous interviews with Sean about all that.
Yeah, and a week from now we're going to do Kevin's complete backstory
Right.
as a
Important.
podcast. Yeah.
Important.
Thank you for the super chat, Texas Real. They are teasing one world religion already. Kevin, promise me Jesus Christ is our heavenly father. They are leading into us created by aliens.
Well, I don't want to ever tell people what to believe, but I certainly know that that's the agenda, the one world religion. I mean, the other day, if you can believe it, in Westminster Abbey in London, the Catholics held a joint service with the Anglican Church. Well, the coronation oath of every monarch in Britain is they're not allowed to do that, but they are because they're merging. And we knew that was as far back as 2010 when the Holyrood Agreement was signed between Ratzinger and Elizabeth, that they're merging the two. And he's talked about merging with the Orthodox Church and even Islam, right? That's the whole corporatocracy agenda. Have everybody under one emperor.
Yeah, you just got asked the question about the Vatican's link to Islam.
I don't know enough about that to say. I mean, there's lots of theories that, Islam was even created by the Church of Rome to justify a crusade, which kept their whole economy going and the whole bit. They're parallel religions in that they believe that everyone, they're only the two religions in the world, really, Islam and quote Christianity. They believe that everyone has to be converted to their faith. And jihad is inherent within all of it. Like, look at the history. It's been either Catholicism slash, that imperial Christianity or Islam that's killed more people in the world through religious wars. In fact, as a matter of fact, Islam had a better track record because they didn't necessarily kill Jews and Christians. They just had to make them pay a higher tax because they believe they're all what they call people of the book. They all believed in the Old Testament, right? But the genocidal tradition comes right out of Rome, saying you're going to die if you don't, if you're not a baptized Catholic, you don't have a soul, you don't have the right to live. That's a Christian ownership. So I mean, it's right in the tradition, like we say. That's why it'll be good next week for people to tune in, learn more about all that.
All right, we've got 3,000 watching live right now across all of the platforms. Please don't forget to support Kevin's links in the description. His books, you can go through the links to get his books, almost 30 of them now. And Kelly is wondering, what are the most important books for people to buy, in your opinion, Kevin?
In terms of immediate practical application, I mean, the one on the Vatican, because you see it all over the place now. The Mormons and the Vatican, they have ads everywhere now. They're pushing the world religion. You have to understand the nature of what Rome is. Even a lot of atheists don't understand what you're dealing with when you're talking about the Church of Rome. So I would get that especially. Murder by Decree, our main book with all the evidence of all of our years of research, it's online, murderbydecree.com. You can run off the PDF. So I would say, yeah, and kind of veer on the side of getting the how-to manuals, like the common law training manual, the whistleblower manual. These are frontline weapons rather than just discourse and research, but they're all connected, of course. One leads out of the other.
Yeah, I've just put the link to By Decree in the live chat. It's also in the description box. So Izzy's asking, can Izzy buy them directly from you?
Yes. Depends. So, I mean, shipping overseas is kind of expensive of that. That's why I want to get the Republic of Albion people, republicofalbion.com. They've been on the show. And they're setting up publishing of my books in England. And I'll be there. So if you're in the in Albion, then we'll meet up and we can arrange all that.
Question from Larry. Does Kevin think ecumenism will bring in a world religion and the Antichrist by a false prophet pope?
Yeah, ecumenism was officially launched at Vatican II in 1962. It was the same Vatican conference which authorized the Crimin policy, whereby every Catholic in the world had to protect child rapists and not tell the police when children are harmed. Same gathering. Ecumenism said all the churches, Christian churches, need to be gathered together. And under the guise of, oh, unity, in fact, it meant you're under Roman authority because you have to, it's kind of like the elephant saying to the chickens, come on, let's get together, as he stomps on all of them, right? It was an attempt to create the one world religion over 60 years ago. And again, it fits into the whole globalist agenda that's control people's minds and wallets, because the Vatican is essentially a biggest bank in the world, right?
So we've got about 20 minutes left with Kevin, folks. So get your final questions in now. At the hour, we've got Gary Wayne coming in, who's an expert on Freemasons, secret societies, ancient bloodlines, royals, etc. So please stay tuned for that. Next question for Kevin is from Laura. Ask Kevin if he believes Alberta will become sovereign.
I'm from there. I was born in Edmonton, grew up there. My family are there. And it'd make a beautiful nation. It's got everything, prairies, mountains, and all that. But they've been talking independence like Quebec has for like many decades. When the oil and gas revenues came in, they thought they could just declare independence. But it's kind of like what Quebec politicians do. They talk that they're going to be sovereign and break away just to get more concessions from the federal government. In fact, it's not going to happen. If it does happen, it'll just mean that China and America will ch gobble up the whole country that much quicker. They want everybody to be balkanized and separated. They don't want what we've created, which is the Sovereign Republic of Canada, which is on all the territory of Canada. And it says, like I said in the airport prison, I don't recognize your authority. We're not in your jurisdiction. We're a separate nation. This is an act of war arresting me.
So Laurie's saying, as a Canadian, what party do we vote for if you say the government is behind selling out to China? Do all parties support this?
Of course they do, because every member of parliament takes an oath of allegiance. To their oath of allegiance says that they're swearing it to Charles II, King of England, and his descendants, period. They're the sworn agent of a foreign monarch who's already criminally convicted. Okay, they're not answerable to you. They're bonded agent of a foreign power. They don't serve the people. They don't take an oath of allegiance to a constitution, or to the law, or to the people of Canada, but to one guy in London. So that answers your question. Of course, they're going to go along. That's why no party ever opposed COVID. No party has ever gone on board about independence. They don't dare talk about splitting away from the crown. They're all part of the corporation. So stop voting. That's an act of treason.
I've been watching a news story this week, actually, that I meant to ask you about. It just occurred to me about Trump beefing with the Pope. What do you make about this tit for tat between Trump and the Pope?
They all want to be God. They all think they're God, and they're kind of like vying for position. And part of it is image. Part of it is also America sucking up as Biden did. Remember the little trip Biden went to Rome and said a wonderful guy Pope Francis was. Well, they all have to kiss that hand because they know the Vatican money is going east. So Trump has never done anything that doesn't profit him personally. So all you have to do is, well, if he's going after the Vatican bank money, I guess Trump International needs the funding for some reason, just like the Mormon Church is a financial ally of the Vatican Bank. So, I mean, it's all about that, Oh, God, give me a break.
And then he said he was a Red Cross doctor after they took it down. Do you think his mind's gone a bit cuckoo?
Well, I mean, it was interesting. Republicans and Democrats before the election, these psychiatrists evaluated the poor guy, and they said he's a diagnosed psychotic narcissist. What's the term is in psychology? Narcissistic psychosis, where like Hitler, he can do no wrong. Everybody is his enemy unless they automatically agree with him. So naturally, you think you're God. I mean, it's the oldest sickness in the world of people in power. That's why I say you got to forget about these nut bars in office and turn our attention to ourselves and taking back our power, right?
You had another question about Trump. What is it? From Tracy. Is this why Trump said praise be to Allah in the threat to Iran to end their civilization? Is the administration trying to convert Christians to Islam?
Well, the administration are, it's not about religion. Religion is just a mask to milk people and keep them fighting each other. I mean, what can you say about somebody who obliterates the lives of children, and feels nothing about it? I mean, if I did that, I'd be in prison. He does it and he's applauded. That's the danger of when a position gives you moral authority, right? Like before the election, nobody likes him. Suddenly he becomes president and he can do no wrong. That's part of the sickness we're dealing with, the nature of how people see power, so-called institutional authority, right?
Not only did they get away with it, they were bragging about it. Hegseth was bragging, "We are raining death down upon them from the sky of Iran."
Well, the people, question people have to ask themselves is how can you be part of a system where the more corrupt and murderous you are, the faster you rise to the top? And all the people on the bottom are decent, okay people, And I saw that in the eyes of one of the border guys who was looking at him. He's a young guy and he didn't like what he was doing. And there's you can you got we got to reach each other that way and dethrone these criminals. That's what they're trying to do in America, the Covenant of Constitutional Assemblies. They're pulling out all the funding and all allegiance to the Trump regime.
You're getting asked, is there a spiritual practice you can advise that will dismantle the evil?
You got to find it within. It's the like my Anishinaabek or Central Ojibwe relatives say. It's the great mystery. They don't know a word for God. It's the great unknown. And it's only within yourself. But as I found again in prison the other day and all the time in life, it has a power greater than anything they know about, right? And they can't control it, which is why they've got to keep you in the fear thing and in the religious mentality so that you don't discover it for yourself, right? But
So is
one
it?
clue in that is get into nature. I always go down to waterfalls, running water. Get in nature and you'll get really clear about your inner, who you really are.
Yeah, that natural energy with the trees and the lovely earth. So Zip wants to know, Kevin, what lengths do you believe they will go to stop the spread of sovereignty? I believe it poses a real danger to the establishment.
Yeah, of course it does. They'll destroy the world before giving up their power. But they are ultimately very weak because they wouldn't have any power unless somebody's willing to enact their orders, right? So if all the people say no at every level, the soldiers, the police, that's what happens in a real revolution is people just say nope, and the leaders fall. And the people who we think have power don't actually, or they wouldn't even be in that position. If you have power, you don't need institutional power. Right.
Yeah, they're all hiding behind the Wizard of Oz type scenarios. So, Carrie wants to know, why isn't Canada stopping the mental experiments?
Canada has always been a center of geoengineering, or not geoengineering, bioengineering and social engineering. Because it's so big, it deliberately creates an impression of being a nice place. And nice Canadians. The origin of the word nice from the Middle Ages in England is it means stupid. That was the original meaning of nice. They're kind of dumb people. And that fits. Canadians are kept ignorant because they don't know what's going on in their own country. It's vast, it's got all these resources. It's why all the medical experiments, the medical genocide was happening right up and down the West Coast here and still goes on. It's easy to hide it in Canada. And it's geopolitically, right on the front line between the two, all the empires. So it's strategic right now what goes on here.
Right, we've got about 10 minutes left with Kevin, folks. Over 3,000 watching now. Please support his in work. All the links are in the description box. Larry, what does Kevin think of King Charles ignoring Easter?
Oh, is he a Christian? I didn't know.
Well,
I don't know. It's like, I don't really care. Frankly, like,
question from Tracy. If it's not religion, then they all pledge allegiance to some satanic god. Why is there so much discord between them or power?
by them, do you mean various rulers or like some?
Yeah, the vested
There
interests.
isn't discord between them any more than there are in lawyers in a courtroom. You have to create an impression that you're on somebody's side, that there's sides. That's how you keep everyone divided and ignorant. They don't believe there's sides. They're in the same club. And as George Carlin said, It's their club and you're not in it, right? Just a club over you. And we've got to unlearn a lot of this stuff, right? And just create a new unity between all of us. And then their power vanishes. And that's what we're trying to do on the ground, not only with these assemblies, but teaching people, which I learned the hard way, how to recover sovereignty here first. That's why we say personal, political, spiritual on all three levels, right? Sovereignty.
Yeah, they use politics, religion, all of these tools they have at their disposal to just divide and conquer us and keep us in this matrix. So David wants to know, what's the state of republicanism in Canada?
It's always been the seed. Like my great 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 grandfather Philip Anna took part in the rebellion in 1837. We tried, we failed. They hanged some of us. They created a whole culture of repression in Canada. But 58% of Canadians want a republic, the most recent survey. They don't want ties to the crown anymore. When we formed the Republic of Canada in 2015, we had it took off and then fell almost to nothing, and then COVID caused it to expand again. We have hundreds of citizens, we have thousands of supporters. We even have like that Mountie in the airport, who's a source of information. We have people on the inside. We've had soldiers and police take out oath of allegiance to the Republic, deny their oath to Charles. So it's spreading. It's like in Albion in England. Like I said, look it up, get involved wherever, and form it if it's not in your country, because it's that basic understanding we all have born with that we govern ourselves, and the republic is no greater than the laws we create among ourselves. There's no authority higher than we, the people, and the laws we create. Boom. That simple.
Well said. Mulan wants to know, do you think the plan was to intimidate you, or were they after information?
I'm real intimidated. Can't you tell?
Yeah.
They were after information. They wanted to know, or at least create the impression they wanted to know about what I knew, especially about the Constitutional Assemblies movement in America. And also a probe to see how I would react. The guy's 70 now. Let's see how Anna's doing. Let's see if he's vulnerable. Let's see if he squeals and breaks. It's that kind of nonsense too, right? So, I mean, once you know what their game is, you can see through it, right?
And people who can't see through it, they put so much pressure on them that they do crack and start to sing like a canary. And then they end up using their own words against them, don't they, to detain them
Oh, yeah.
forever and investigate and incriminate them.
That's true, Sean.
All right, but just over 5 minutes left. Let's see. Can you speak on any good guys embedded within these societies?
You don't know about them, because if they're a good guy, they've got to stay off the radar. They've got to be quiet. The system is never going to say, here's a good guy, And they're really working against, they call them white hats and black hats. Well, I often say to people, well, the old saying, shift, take one hat on, put another one on, one off, the other on. It's like all impressions to get people to think that somewhere in the system we can get success, because they want us looped in psychologically and every other way, energetically into their system. No, the people who are really inside working, like I was, in the church, you don't broadcast yourself. You just do the work on the ground. It's like what my Anishinaabeg relatives always say. You don't know who the leaders are. They're invisible because they're always out there helping the people. They don't make a big fanfare out of it. They're always the poorest ones among us. They're just out there doing the work with the people. Those are the leaders. Those are the good guys, right? So I would say, you know who they are in your community. There's people like that all over doing good work. Just go and work with them and elevate, hold them up, because they need help more than you can imagine, right?
Marilyn, if the power structure ends, will we fall into chaos? Or is that a myth to keep the ruling class in power? Don't they always say anarchy? It'll be anarchy if we haven't got control.
Well, anarchy means anarchos in Greek, which means no authority. That's all it means. I think chaos is the first step towards liberty. It always is. The system has to fall apart. There has to be chaos for us to create something new out of it, So we shouldn't be afraid of that word, or the word anarchy, which is Jesus was an anarchist. He didn't believe in any authority except conscience, God, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah, so we need to bow down to them because the alternative is going to be burning in hell, basically. Let's see from Carrie, have you challenged the Constitution for illegal search and seizure yet, Section 7 and 8?
Do you mean the US Constitution?
Yeah,
A lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people try to do that, but it comes down to the courts. And the courts in America are increasingly not based on common law, but administrative law. So, for example, when I was put in the prison, they said you're being undergoing administrative procedure or administrative processing. So you're not in a traditional system of due process. It's like a medieval inquisitional court. You're assumed to be guilty. You have to prove your innocence. You can't call witnesses. It's like how they threw me out of the United Church, kangaroo court. I had no due process, couldn't call witnesses. And the government stood by and let them happen, let them do that, church and state tag team. So that's what we're living under now. So there's no point appealing to the courts. We've got to create our own courts. That's why we do that with the International Common Law Court of Justice, which has power. The threat of a writ from that court is one of the things that I think that levered me out of jail the other night.
Katie wants to know, has Kevin heard what the Native Elder Chief, Charlene, recently said at UBC regarding what she wants done? No.
No.
All right, I'll move on from that one then. Let's see. What if the one world thing is not bad but good? Because we realize we are all the same.
We are all one already. We don't need to have a structure created to ensure that. And our notion of one world is very different than the corporatocracy's notion of one world. Their notion of one world is you're all mental slaves in their little machine system, that you're all components of a machine. Our one world is infinite diversity, infinite liberty, self-governance locally, no more state, no more big corporate system, people governing themselves locally. And yeah, so I mean, that's kind of a brief response.
All right, yeah, we are getting into our final few minutes. So if you've got any little quick fire questions, get them in the chat right now. I know we've had some very serious questions all evening, but this one perhaps will lighten the mood. Shall we all just go off and watch The Life of Brian after this?
It's so accurate, that film, especially being involved in political groups. But I think that was quite likely. I love the scene in the beginning when Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount and everyone's fighting, everyone's yelling at each other and says, "Speak up!" And then they're like punching each other out. You know, that's what you do. You try to bring a little bit of truth in the world, and it's a
I
lot
grew
of
up on Monty Python and all that
oh, they're
stuff
perfect.
with my
Yeah.
dad. I was watching it. Larry, does Kevin believe that the Roman Church is paganism with a Christian veneer as based on the ancient mystery religions, Mystery Babylon the Great?
Well, more specifically, what I believe is yes, it's not a Christian religion. It even the term that the just look at the term, the titles the Pope uses, right? Vicari Christi, the one who replaces Christ, and the Great Bridge, right? Pontifex Maximus, that was the term of the Roman emperors, the great bridge between heaven and earth. It's emperor worship, right? You say believe in Christ, and the church doctrine is there's no salvation outside the church. No salvation outside of Christ, who is not the church, right? And they've proven that time and again, you know. So, I mean, people are very, there's this whole fog created without understanding the nature of it. And we go into that in great detail in our book, Dethroned in a Rogue Power, about what you're dealing with, you know.
Yeah, and in 2 minutes, we've got Gary Wayne coming in to talk about ancient religions, Freemasonry, etc. So we can get further into that. Kevin, we're almost at the hour. Huge thank you. Good to see you are a free man. And
Always.
is there anything you would like to say in conclusion to the viewers?
Well, we're free whether we're in the behind the bars or not, and we got to free the mind, as they say in the movie Platoon. Free your mind, your ass will follow, and that's kind of our word for the day. But I really invite everybody to come back in a week, where I can go into the background. I'll be going into the whole background of this movement, which people need to know in order to carry on the fight. Thank you, Sean, so
Yeah.
much for being on so quickly after that little incident.
Get some rest and relaxation, my friend. You're doing great work, and thank you for coming on this evening. Cheers.
Okay, brother. Thanks to everybody. Carry
Thank
it
you.
on.
Yeah. So please support Kevin at his links. I know Kevin's been on the channel for so long now, for so many years. So next week at this time, we're going to do a complete recap of Kevin's backstory. So I know I've several people in the chat were saying, "Who is Kevin?" Come back next week at this time, and you'll have Kevin's complete backstory. But stay tuned if you are interested in the Freemasons, ancient religions, secret societies, bloodlines, etc. Gary Wayne is coming on. I'm going to close this show and it will take you over to the next show. If it doesn't, please click the channel icon.